Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Parker Amaral, and this is The Conversation Station. Today's guest is a former Marine Raider and a successful entrepreneur, author, and content creator. He is co-owner of Johnny Slicks, a brand that offers organic grooming products for men, and The Agogi, a coaching program that helps individuals achieve their personal and professional goals. He has also founded several organizations, such as The Raider Project, which assists combat veterans in transitioning to the civilian world. And he is highly involved with Squire Program, a father and son experience that fosters leadership and character development. He is a versatile and influential leader who inspires others with his passion and dedication. So without further ado, let's give a warm welcome to the one and only Mr. Nick Koumalatsos. Welcome on, sir.
Parker, you nailed that name too, man.
Hey, I nailed it the first time. I did like 100 hours of studying that name. I don't know. It is tough. I butchered a couple of words in there that were far simpler than your last name, but I got your last name right, so I guess that counts for something.
How things been with you, man?
Oh, man, I have been going fast and quick. In September, I did 30 episodes in 30 days. It was crazy.
Awesome. Was that a challenge for you?
I set the challenge on like August 15th randomly. I think I was just like, I just popped into my head. I'm like, I'm going to do 30 episodes. So I did it. And then this last month, I had a couple of episodes that were supposed to happen. I was going to just do two a week, and then it just didn't happen. I'm like, oh gosh, I got to get back on it in November. So I'm going to do two episodes a week this month, just getting back into that. But it's like after those 30 days where I'd been pouring all my time in, like seven other opportunities came in to take up that time. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I have been doing a lot of different things and I'm having fun, but it's
a lot of reps. That's a lot of reps, man.
Oh my gosh, you know? Yes. And the fact is 99% of those are me tired at like 11 p.m. hitting rolling on a camera and releasing it at 11:59. It's like it was a crunch a lot of the time, because I think for me I kind of struggle with doing things in advance the way I'm supposed to do it, you know. Record tomorrow's episode today. I struggle to do that. And so most of the time I was recording it the day of and releasing. But what I did find cool about that is throughout the month, you could very much so see my progress, especially because I hadn't done solo episodes before. And I'm sure, as you know, there's a huge difference between talking to a guest and talking about your own beliefs. And it is so scary to start talking about your own beliefs versus just agreeing with a guest on something. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like, it's real, you know? It's like it's a whole different level of like, here's who I am.
How long was your solo episodes?
I did 15 minutes for those. And then, you know, my interviews run an hour, but
That's good, dude. Yeah.
But yeah, I would do one topic, because I mean, I want to do some hour long episodes, but during 30 days, it's like, I need the next topic for tomorrow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so interesting, and it was so interesting as the month went on, because the episode started off very just like, what is everybody going to agree with me on when it comes to leadership? Mm-hmm. But then eventually I was slowly started talking about things that were a little bit more out of my comfort zone. It was really interesting for me to watch it evolve, and I came out of it like, whoa, you know, I can't believe that I just talked about that on the internet, you know?
Yeah. Good for you, dude.
Yeah. Proud of you. It's fun. And then coming out of that, it's just been so busy the last like couple of months in general. 'Cause I went from doing the podcast every day to the week after October, like 5th, I have a mentor that I work with a lot out here. My workload with him like quadrupled, and I'm basically running his entire system for one of his clients right now. Mm-hmm. And that same client recently offered for me, when she has an event she's putting on in April or May, and she wants me to be the keynote speaker at that. So it's like I've had so many things going on, but I'm just like, the fact is I love podcasting, and I'm a better human. I'm a more productive human when I'm podcasting, right? Because I'm telling the world, here's what I'm going to do. And then I'm like, oh, if I don't do this, realistically,
you have to do it now.
I have to do it. Even if I know realistically most of the world isn't going to come after me, but internally I'm like, most of the world is going to come after me.
And I said, you know, to be a, you know, be a man of my word, I said what I'm going to do. So I got to go do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, Like, I, the thing is, the day that I decided to do 30 episodes, I put a post up on Apogee. I scheduled a call with Sean Briscombe to talk to him about it. And I was just like, I'm just going to tell as many people as possible about it. So it's harder to back out.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what made it even possible.
It's like, I did the jiu-jitsu one. Do you remember seeing that one?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I did two training sessions in jiu-jitsu a day for 30 days as a white belt. This was like over 3 years ago, I think.
Oh my gosh. That's insane.
Yeah, it was absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. But I told a lot of people when I filmed it all, and I was releasing the episodes as they were doing it. So I was like, I got to keep going. And there was mornings that I got up and I was like, I don't want to do this. I just don't want to go. My body hurts.
The amount of times I woke up and didn't want to do a podcast, the amount of times that it was 10 p.m. or 8 p.m. and I'm completely just exhausted and I'm like, oh, but I have to do a podcast. And not only that, I have to record, edit, and release.
I have to go talk for 15 minutes about something and my brain's tired.
Yeah. But you know, during that 30 days, one of my favorite episodes was I talked to Steve Eckert, and that guy is both simultaneously like the coolest and the scariest human being on the planet. Cause I'm like, I see when I'm talking to him, it's a great conversation. But then the second I see him at like, MDK, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am scared for my life seeing it. I'm like, but he's simultaneously like, I don't know. He almost has this, even though he's like always on, you know, he has this like chill about him when he's not 100%. And it's just, he's a very interesting guy, but it was such a good conversation with him.
Yeah. He is definitely a character at the project for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Great guy, great dad. He's a great human being. He's a lot more to unpack there than just what you see in the clips on Instagram, for sure.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But it's always, you know, I think we talked about this last time. My entertainment source is whenever I see a video of Steve Eckert or anything MDK, I'm like, what is the insanity in the comments section, you know? Because that's how these things always tend to go. Always. It's like, oh man, they're like, oh, this is terrible for the world, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know, my entire point is like, okay, it's obviously not for you, but what about the guys that are going through it? You know, there's a reason, like people are saying it's stupid, but there's a reason that people pay what they pay for it, right?
And still just keep going. Every class, there's a whole bunch of people that show up.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason.
So let me ask you, like, remind me how old you are?
16.
16 years old. When you see the comments of these men commenting that kind of stuff, and you know, there's some pretty gnarly comments in there. What's your perception of what, like, you know, not to interview you, but what's your perception of those men that message to what the things that they say on those videos? Like, how do you perceive that?
Well, I've gotten my fair share of stupid internet comments, but what I can see is from someone that doesn't, like, for me, it's like when I see, you know, you or Matt or some of these guys, I'm like, I've had conversations with them on Apogee, or I know them to some level. So it's much easier for me to be like, I know this guy at his core. I know he's a good dude. But I think for a lot of my perspective is for a lot of people that are just so outside of that, right? They're so far away from it. Right, they're not at that level that it's hard for them to perceive the value in it. It's hard for them to understand the value someone can get. But I also think a lot of it just comes from that there are miserable people on the internet, right? And there are people that just are going to hate on it no matter what. You could have the perfect program that has 100% positive reviews by 2 million people, and there's still going to be that one guy. There's still going to be that one guy. And the fact is that there are probably programs that other people think are great, right? And that are great. But you and me, we would think they are the stupidest thing on the planet, right? So I think it's interesting. There's an interesting thing there where I'm like, these people are being idiots, but also everyone can be an idiot. But it's such, the internet is such like a crazy mental battle, because you're like, what to believe? And I'm like, But on those ones, half the time they're comedic because they are so insane. They're like, they go on a full rant on how terrible it is. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then half the comments are like, just go to boot camp. But I'm like there's, it's so funny. Cause I'm like, just go to boot camp. But most of these guys are like, you know, that they're old. They don't necessarily want to do boot camp, and they have them. If you like, the fact is also a lot of people talk about the price. It's priced that way for a reason because of the value you get from it, because of the people that you surround yourself with, because of the fact that it's set at that price point. So there's a level of commitment. If it was a $50 program.
Wild about the whole boot camp thing is there's so many of those guys that go through that are actually other former veterans. You know, we like the last guy, the class 16's honor grad was a 275 Ranger. You know, the last class, the one that Steve just put up, there was an infantry Marine in there, Matt Coker. He's a really, really awesome dude. So the fact that they say that just shows how much, you know, they don't know about everything. But it's interesting to see your perspective from a 16 year old man on.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because I think the fact is the internet is full of people that know nothing but think they know everything, and that's just kind of how it always is. I always think it's interesting because when I see comments like that, I always want to think, have I ever left a stupid comment like that? Probably, right? Have I ever left something stupid? And it's always interesting to think. And reverse that, you know, from the external. Well, oh, this person doesn't.
Here's the thing
about
with those kind of, you know, typically, and you can, you know, self, you know, check me here if I'm wrong, or at least in your opinion, I don't think I'm wrong. Highly productive people don't have the time to just go troll videos and leave stupid comments, even if they don't agree with it. Like I see videos that I don't agree with. I don't say anything.
No, I mean, I think
I don't have time.
I would agree. I mean, I think certainly that, I mean, you can, I mean, I've certainly commented short little things, but when people leave these entire paragraphs, I'm like, what, you probably just spent like 15 minutes on that? Who has 15 minutes to leave a two paragraph comment on a 30 second video? Who has that time?
You're entitled to your opinion. Like, you have something to say, say it. You're entitled to your opinion. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it. And I certainly am not going to just invest my time and my day to go hate on you. Cause you know what? I'm too busy focused on my own shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting cause, especially as I'm like getting busier and busier, I'm like, how do people have time for this stuff?
Yeah. But I do appreciate them because, you know, they feed the algorithm, and then of course it becomes more and more successful. So,
oh gosh, you know. The best thing is when someone leaves something super egregious, and then you have the people on your team fighting for you in the comment section, and it goes from they left one comment and got you eight comments and got you a ton of engagement. That one time a couple months ago where someone commented on a video saying that I was completely lost as an individual.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was so funny to me because I'm like, you know, you've seen one video of me talking about how what is perceived about going against the grain is usually exactly what society wants you to be doing. The widely rebellious thing is almost never rebellious, and then the comment was like, who do you think you are? Are you going against the grain by hopping on the YouTube Shorts trend? I'm like, what? I mean, maybe in that scenario I'm not, but you have to look at, it's so much more nuanced than that, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, what am I talking about versus what is, you know, I'm not out there doing TikTok dances, but it was so funny because that video was going to die off at 700 views. That person left a comment. It got 9 replies and then it boosted it an extra 1,000 views.
Yep.
And then the guy deleted his comment, but after it got the views. So I was like, yeah.
What's amazing to that guy getting asked to be a keynote speaker at a conference at 16 years old? No.
I'm completely lost as an individual, Nick. You should be able to see that, right?
I know you're part of the Apogee. Matt actually said something, and this kind of falls into that whole process and kind of where you're at. Saturday at Squire, he said that the word teenager was not a concept until the early 40s. Because prior to that, there was no teen, like a young man became a man and he was expected to act mature. He was expected to hold himself as a man. But what we've done is we've created this weird middle phase where it's like you're being authorized to be awkward. You're being authorized to delay maturity, delay responsibility.
Yeah, no,
when somebody like you or guys like us pour into young men and say, no, you're done being a teenager. You're done having excuses. You're done not doing hard things. You're gonna work hard. You're gonna have emotional maturity. You're gonna seek mentors. And you're gonna figure some shit out. And you're gonna get things done. And then when you do it, they're gonna say like, what? That's weird. You're weird.
Exactly.
You're weird because you're what's supposed to be normal. In the 1930s, you would be considered what's normal.
Yeah.
But we give these guys the pass to be slops.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I think it's interesting because we all have bad days for sure, but my worst day of the month is still above the average day for everybody else my age.
Yeah, you have a worst day, and I actually was talking to a client, and this is what's actually kind of beautiful is because, you know, we've got guys who are in their 40s struggling to do what you're doing now at 16 years old, right? And they hit me up and they say, man, I'm having a bad day. I said, you know, sure, you might think it's a bad day, but it's a matter of perspective because of this. You could still be 60 pounds overweight working your job, your 9-to-5 job that you broke free from a year ago, and you started your own business and now you're making money. And yeah, you're having a bad day, but remember why you're having a bad day. You're having a bad day because you're moving the needle in your life and you're choosing to do hard over easy. You're choosing to move, like to push forward. You're choosing to do 30 podcasts in 30 days. Like, yeah, you've created hard days for yourself because you choose to improve yourself and grow and create a better life. So yeah, you're going to have some difficult days, but the opposite is what? Easy days?
Exactly. And the worst days for me are like the days where I've just been going so hard that I have like such little left in me. But I'm like the reason I'm having a bad day is because I had 7 good days. You know, right. Like that's the reason. And you know, one of the interesting things that I see is like video games. Right? I saw that clip of Matt talking about it at Squire, but it's really interesting because, you know, I know plenty of people that play a bunch of video games. Right.
Of course,
and yeah. The fact is I have maybe one day where I actually sit down and get on a video game every single month, and that is like the worst day of a month. That is the worst day, and that happens once a month, and there are two games that I will dive into, and they are the basketball and the football game, because that's, you know, and it's like once, I'm like done, because it was the one day where I just, where my discipline wasn't good. That's it. I didn't have good discipline that day. And so that's the only reason. There is only one reason that I got there. And I think
Parker, answer me this. Why, if that's your one day a month, why not just get rid of it?
For sure. And I would 100% agree. Like I said, that's the day when the discipline fails.
Yeah.
So the goal, right? I have gone for sure months without touching the video games, right? Now, my point is that for me, there are going to be times when it fails, and that is by no means the goal. The goal is not to fail, but it would be completely unrealistic to say that I'm going to be perfect 100% of the time. But what I understand is that if it's not that,
it's something else.
Exactly. And that day, You know, that failure is something that does go down over time, right? It used to be more frequent, and there are about 70 other factors that play into whether I actually sit down and do that or not. And it's interesting because, like, it's certainly one of those things that's in the mind of, it's one of those things that's like, I got to improve on that, right? I want to cut that out. I don't want there to be that day. But I also have to understand that it takes time to get there.
Now, I think it's about intentionality. I think probably what happens is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, you get bogged down from, you know, all the things that you're pushing yourself at 16 years old, right? And you just get mentally exhausted. And typically what happens in grown men is they're so tired that they just like, I want to mentally check out. I want to do something mindless. I want to do something that takes my mind off of life and everything that I'm doing. So they want to check out. But they end up doing something that's it's a net negative at the end of the day. It's like not really refilling their cup. And listen, I get it too. Like I feel like sometimes I make joke where I'm burning the candle at both ends and at the middle at the same time. You know what I mean? So I'm just lighting it. I'm lighting it in three different locations all the same time. But you know, I have to really, really think about, okay, what is going to take me and go, okay, and get me to mentally recover. And there's not many things that will do that for me. So you can play, you know, and I'll say that, like, if that's your thing, but I feel like it has to be done with intentionality.
100%.
It has to be done with a time limit. It has to be done like, I am doing this for this purpose, for this reason. Now, you can justify a lot of dumb shit, you know, but I'm not definitely going to say, like, people go like, well, I do it to take the, like, drinking. I'll do it to take the edge off. Well, the net positive is zero. Like, we can talk about the health benefits. We can talk about the effects of it on your brain, what it is as a macronutrient, how it affects your body composition, your productivity, everything. So you're like, well, I'm downregulating to do that. Well, you know what also downregulating to do is breath and yoga and all kinds of stuff, jiu-jitsu, you know, playing basketball with a group of friends, you know, that you're not thinking about podcasting while somebody's trying to shoulder check you on a court. You know what I mean? Like, you're having to pay attention. Same thing with jiu-jitsu. You're not thinking about your bills while somebody's trying to murder, you know, squeeze the life out of your neck, right? Like, you're present.
And I think that
people just need to find something and replace of a thing, alcohol, drugs, video games, pornography, whatever that's going to be, to give them a net positive instead of a net negative.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think it's interesting because you did say it. It is when I want to mentally check out, right?
Yeah.
It's when I want to get completely, like, just out of it, you know, just not here for X amount of time. And it is interesting because I do, the only games I play are those games that are completely mindless, right? Because there are certainly games where I would have to think, right? But I play the two games that I've been playing for so long that I just basically just kind of do nothing.
Yes, exactly. You're just a drone.
And I think it's interesting because sometimes it's like, I know what I need to recharge, right? Because 99% of the time I just need to go, like, interact with people, right? 99% of the time it's like, hey, you know, go hang out with someone, go have a conversation with someone, and that's that for me. That's it, right? That's why I love podcasting, because I enjoy talking to people.
It's all the work around the podcast that's actually really exhausting, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, everything is so exhausting. The editing, the social media content, no, everything else about the podcast is exhausting. But this part, this is the fun part. This is the easy part. This is like, I could do this in my sleep. This is this is the reverse of a mental checkout, where I'm so mentally focused it refuels me, versus the mental checkout, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of want to bring it back to what you were talking about earlier about, like, teenagers. And I was on Halloween, the entire term of teenager, that what you were talking about earlier, it reminded me of on Halloween, I was hanging out with a friend who I only see once a year, basically. And it's basically just Halloween because, our entire thing is we've been going trick-or-treating together for years. And, It's like I'm basically reaching the end of my prime. I got to kind of, call it quits. I gotta retire like MJ in my prime. But it's been interesting because over the years, when you don't see someone for so long, you see the differences in them, right? From jump to jump. And I love the guy, right? I've known him since I was like 11. But in the last year, I haven't seen him get better. And that's what's so interesting to me. Because I watch these other teenagers and I'm like, what is he doing with his life, right? I'm like, I see, I'm like, I'm just sitting there. Because one of his friends tagged along. I'm like, what is going on here? And it's been interesting because I'm older than him and I have watched everything that happened. He was on it was very interesting to watch his trajectory until his trajectory was different until he got a phone. And his trajectory, we had much deeper, better conversations at 11 years old before he had a phone versus now that he does.
Yeah.
Because he's so involved in the social, not social media, but talking to like 70 different conversations happening at the same time. Mm. And it's so interesting to see. And it's almost disappointing because like his mom, such an awesome entrepreneur. Like I'm meeting with her sometime in the next couple of weeks to talk about doing some work for her business. Like she is so legit, but I'm like, sometimes I'm like, dude, you have so much at your fingertips. Sometimes I'm like, he doesn't realize. He could tomorrow have so many things if he just thought about it.
So my question to you is it his fault or is it his parents' fault?
For sure. Yeah, no, I think it certainly goes that way as well, right? And it is something that's on my mind because I'm like, when I'm thinking about, I'm like, dude, these people are super cool, but sometimes it's such an interesting thing to think about.
And I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to paint him as a victim, right? He's not a victim.
No,
and,
for sure. No.
The information's out there and we all have to make choices, but the reality is our society is being set up to where we are. I mean, your generation, your age group of individuals is a hot commodity for the opposition, right? They want you distracted. They want you to be emotionally immature. They want to attack your masculinity. They want to attack your productivity. And they definitely want your attention.
100%.
Because if they can gain your attention, they can manipulate you. And that's why all this stuff is so incredibly, incredibly important. And the work that you're doing with Apogee, the work that you're doing on yourself, the work that you're doing with your podcast, and the reason why you started it in the first place, you are breaking free from all of that. And whether you make mistakes or not, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you're 16 years old. You should be making mistakes for the next freaking 15 years. That's the reality.
Yeah.
But with your friend, it's sad because he has basically been allowed to be led down that road, right? As like cannon fodder, essentially. Like you're just a sheep in the herd.
For sure, and it is interesting, and I like what you said about mistakes because I think a lot of people think that it's about not making mistakes. It's about the kind of mistakes you're making. Are you making the huge net negative mistakes, right? Like even those can be good. Mistakes are just objectively a good thing if you learn.
I call them tuition payments.
Yeah, for sure. Like, but I think
it's the best college you could ever use. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. And I think what it comes down to is, are you able to learn from those mistakes? Are you able to self-reflect to a level of understanding, right? Mm. You can't just self-reflect. You have to self-reflect to a level of a deep understanding of what's actually going on,
yeah.
Right? And it's most important to understand what's going on within yourself. And this was actually one of the biggest things that went across all 30 days. It was, I can tell you what works for me, but I can't tell you what works for you. But what I can tell you is you have to understand, you need to self-reflect. You need to keep thinking about you, and everything that works for me could work for you. And it's a starting point. It's
but
a,
yeah, exactly. You don't
but
know
you have to
not,
know who you are.
Doing. Yeah.
And,
you have to start doing.
And, yeah. And that was one of the interesting things that I like to think about with ADHD, right? As ADHD is one of these things that's it's thrown around everywhere, right? ADHD. Gosh, maybe I'm going to be a 4K at this point. I don't know. I don't feel like being HD anymore. But it's such an interesting thing for me because I was thinking about it and I'm like, we're talking about something where kids don't like to sit in class and look around. Great. So you don't like that. You don't like that, right? Maybe there is something that's different about your brain, but who cares? It does not matter what's different about you. That doesn't matter. It's what actions are you going to take based upon that understanding? And I actually talked to a therapist on the first day of the month, and she works with these kids, right? But I liked her frame of like just completely getting rid of the victim mentality and being like using it. Like you can use, I don't like the diagnosis of ADHD because it's used more as an excuse. But in the right scenario, it can be used as a tool. And so it's been very interesting for me to look at that perspective and just like, you need to understand yourself. If you know that doesn't work, then find something that does. Don't get caught up in the rat race of this doesn't work for me, so I'm a failure.
And that's, and unfortunately, I was talking to, you know, my wife and I talk about this a lot because our son, if he was thrown into public school system, the way his brain operates and the way the kid, there's nothing wrong with the kid. The kid is like overly perfect. You know what I mean? Like he's just a, you know, super smart. His aptitude is through the roof. He's got a ton of energy, of course. His dialogue at 3 years old we don't even understand how he speaks the way he does. If he went to a public school system, they would immediately say that he has ADHD and needs to be put on medication so that he can actually sit still. Here's the deal. Young men from the age of three, like, born until probably 25, probably have ADHD, and they're not meant to sit still. They're not meant to sit in a classroom 8 hours a day. That's called indoctrination. They want to dumb them. They want to dumb them down. They want to like make them docile. They want to, you know. It's a whole thing of and I'm sure, have you read the book, John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart?
No, I haven't.
No, you should put that on your list, or at least the audiobook version. Yeah. Wild at Heart. It's a great, great book about understanding why boys are the way that they are and why we should kind of, it's kind of one of the reasons why Squire was created. But we are genetically designed to run, play, hide, fight, do things, be energetic. That's the way that we're made, right? We're not made to be a young man, 5 years old, and go sit in a room in a cage for 5 hours. And there's a great analogy of like, have you ever seen a lion born in captivity, born in a zoo, and what he looks like in a cage? Their eyes look sad and tired. But what does a lion look like out in the pride and freedom? Calm, cool, and collective, just doing his thing, ready to hunt, ready to have sex, ready to sleep, go back and then repeat the process, right? He's fit. He's not overweight, you know? He has a different look in his eyes than that sad lion in the cage. And the reality is this, is when the cage is open, what does the lion do?
He
is he going to sit in the cage or is he going to walk out?
Exactly.
He's going to walk out. Like, we're designed for that. You guys at your age, we're all designed for that. And what happens is that they take what's natural, what's inherently genetically bred into you, and they try to cut it out by the form of a pharmaceutical or some sort of acronym or some sort of BS thing that they're trying to tell you you are. And the reality is there's nothing wrong with any of these guys. There's nothing wrong with any of these kids. The thing that's wrong is the system itself. The system is wrong. That's what's wrong. The grind that they put these through, the indoctrination camp that they're putting young men through and young women through, that's what's wrong. There's nothing wrong with a kid that can't sit still in a classroom. He's not supposed to. He's a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely sit still right now here, right? I mean, I'm like leaning back and forth, moving around, fidgeting a little bit because, right? I mean, I'm engaged for sure. But, you know, if I were in a classroom right now, I don't think I would necessarily look engaged because I'm moving around. I'm checking all sorts of different things.
But you're not in school, right? I'm homeschooled. Yeah.
I'm homeschooled. Yeah. But it is, so it's interesting. This year I've started taking just like two classes a week at this like homeschool place that has a bunch of different classes. And I've just been taking improv and then their leadership class. Now I'll go to the leadership class, but the improv class is such a blast, right? Like the reason I'm there is because it's fun. That's the reason I'm taking that class. Cause, you know, it's just, it's awesome. But
it probably makes you a better podcaster too, honestly.
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous. I mean, how much fun that is for me. Cause I'm just like, for me, it's nothing, right? I'm just being me, but it's so interesting to like, I love coming up with a character or being told something to do something ridiculous. But then there's the leadership class, and the leadership class is weird to me. It's such a weird class to me. Especially after being an apogee, right? Mm-hmm. The elite of the elite when it comes to leadership, and seeing that this class is so fundamentally different.
How so?
Well, it's conducted like a class. That's the biggest problem. That's the number one problem. It's a class. But it's not really leadership. It's more of a leader. It's more of like graphic design. And that's what confused me. I'm like, I signed up for a leadership class, and I knew there were going to be some elements there, but I talked to the teacher of the class, who is the director of the school, about what it would look like, and I got the ideal, but it hasn't looked like that, right?
Yeah.
But it's been so interesting, because the fact is that half the kids in there are just in there to have a good time, and it is interesting to understand the way classrooms work, right? You know, I've listened to your podcast with Matt, where you guys go into everything education, right? But it's interesting to sit in there and be like, you're not what the only assignment we have had so far has been to watch a couple of TED Talks that are on leadership and conversations. And I'm like, that's cool. That's cool. But that's in 3 months, having three assignments for three TED Talks that I listened to, and I'm like, they're cool, but they're not anything, right? It's so weird to be in that class where I'm like, I like the teachers, they're cool, you know, like Matt says, it's not the people, right? It's a homeschool school, so it's just so interesting, because it's like leadership is not something that can be taught in a class.
Yeah, I think we'd be better served. How do you teach that? In my right off the top of my head, an easy way to get conversation going, right? And that's what you want to do in a class. You want to get conversation going.
Yeah, there's no conversation in that class.
Yeah, but so how do you do that, right? I think one of the best ways to talk about leadership and to get people to understand, you know, whether it's a and there might not even be a right or wrong answer, but the idea of different leadership styles and different ways to do that is talk about history, right? And we know the saying, those that don't know their history are doomed to repeat it, right? So as leaders, especially like from a guy from like myself, like coming from the military, like it's important that we know historical battles. We understand the different leaders in different positions from different sides of battles and countries and whatnot. And so in my mind, I'd be like, let's talk about a scenario, a historical scenario. And then without really talking about the outcome, maybe some people know the outcome already, without knowing, give them options. You are Alexander the Great.
Do you make?
Yeah. Here's the decision. Here's the situation that you're put in. What do you do as a leader? Yeah. I feel like that is a more, and again, there is no like necessarily right or wrong answer. It's about perception and it's about the desired output. And then, okay, you made this decision. Why did you make that decision? Right. And then talk about what happened in reality and what happened in history and give them that perspective as well.
Yeah.
I think that really gets us to think, right? And that really changes the way that we view leaders and we view leadership in both the good and the bad. And there's good stories and there's bad stories, right? But we have to know all of those things. We learn a lot more from the bad, right, than the good. We talk about the Squire program and what we just did on Saturday. You know, a lot of guys talk about, well, and Steve talks about that too, about his father, right? He talks about, well, I had the best teacher in fatherhood ever, is my father. He taught me every single thing not to do. Same with me. Like I learned I became a good dad because I had a bad representation of what fatherhood looked like, right? So I'm like, well, I know not to do that, and then I take that same thing and I put it in business. You know, I take 6 years of business failures, and then we launched Johnny Slicks. And it's like, not that it's easy, but it's a lot easier because I had six years of fuck ups.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, well, I know what not to do. So if I do, I know 99 things what not to do and one works. Let's run the one that works and see what happens. And then we'll go from there and we'll prove upon that.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things in the early days of Apogee, when I first got to the program and there were maybe 20 guys on the call, the best thing we did was Socratic conversations. And what Matt would do is he would present us with a two-sided argument and he would make us pick one completely. Yeah, they were extreme. And he would say, pick a side.
Yeah.
And he would say, you can't pick anywhere in the middle.
Nope.
And that was what was, and then we'd have a conversation because there are obviously people that are going to pick one side versus the other. And there's going to be one that more people pick. And you got to be like, yeah, my side's better. Come on, you know? But that was so cool because I'm like, you know, you're talking to other people who you have respect for. And then you're talking about something that's completely insane, right?
Right.
But you're talking about it realistically, right? You know, would you rather kill all the chickens in the world or all the cows in the world? You know, even something ridiculous like that could very well become a good conversation. Right. And I think as opposed to listening to a TED Talk on the five elements of a good conversation, why don't we can watch that. But as opposed to filling out a questionnaire, right, which is an actual assignment that I have to get done for this, as opposed to filling out a questionnaire, why don't we watch it and then have a conversation, keeping those things in mind, right? And again, I would say even with the stuff that we have been assigned for homework, it's literally just been that so far. But I'm like, I've seen Apogee. It's not homework, but it's different. But it is, here's a set of challenges, right? I'm like, for all of these... Because it is interesting because I'm in that class and I'm at a different level than the other people in the class because I've been through Apogee, because I have ran a podcast, because I get to talk to the people I get to talk to.
Well, and you've had to make those choices. You've had to have those conversations so you know how to navigate them. And that's the biggest thing is we're never going to improve as adults. We're never going to improve young men if we don't put them in these scenarios to fail or succeed.
100%. Yeah. Like the amount of times I failed.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous.
But you're not going to learn. You're not going to like grow. And that's the reason, like with young men, they're not like you're talking about your friend. He's not being set up for success.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. He is. I mean, he's gone to a private school his entire life. And like.
Well,
like,
you and I both know that, you know, going from a public school to a private school is just, you're exchanging, you know, public shit for private shit.
Well, for sure. Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I just think like for him, he has had an as a kid, incredibly blessed childhood, right?
Sure.
And like, I can understand that. But again, you have to be put in positions to succeed or to fail.
Exactly.
And
More so to fail.
More so to fail, for sure. I mean, the amount of times I've failed, right? I mean, we talked about this last time. I was in a terrible relationship for a while without realizing, right? Right. We talked about this. It is like the amount of fundamental failures I have had, even with the podcast, the episodes that have gotten files deleted and it took me 6 months to recover the files. It has just been like that. That is just life.
And I remember you fall off, maybe not now after the 30, but you fell off the wagon for a while and you got complacent and this was quite a bit of time ago. But I would consider that a failure as well. It's like, what was I doing in my life to where that situation happened? Right.
Again. So the interesting thing is the relationship and the complacency went hand in hand.
I remember you saying that. That's right.
Before the relationship, I was fine. After the relationship, I was fine. And so it's so interesting. So we're actually coming up on a year since that relationship ended. Best year of my life. But anyways.
the reason why is it doesn't have to be because of a relationship. It's about the right relationship. And one thing that young men don't realize, and it's something we have to teach you guys, is one of the most important decisions that you can make in your life is who your partner is.
Oh yeah.
Who your partner is will make or break a man. And that's a fact.
100%.
Like, you don't choose your parents. You don't choose your kids. You choose your wife. That's the decision that you make. And it doesn't need to be made lightly.
For sure. Yeah. But it's so interesting to reflect and be like, wow, you know, since then, like I talked to you 7 months ago in March, the amount of stuff I've done since then has been crazy. Certainly I'm trying to think, cause I mean, after I talked to you, I do think again, during the summer, I got a little complacent and that's why I did 30 episodes in 30 days. Cause I was pissed. I'm like, I missed out on so much over the summer. In terms of I was treating it like a summer. I was treating it like I was a kid, right? And it's like, I'm off of school. But in the grand scheme of life, there is no days off of school. And so that's one of the reasons I just decided, I'm like, dang it, dude. I haven't been doing it. I need to do it.
When we talk about this in the project, we talk about this in the Agogi, in Squire, we talk about everything that I'm attached to, the Crucible, all the different programs that I run, I talk about this. And one of the things that is just an absolute must, and you're probably figuring it out intuitively because you just did the 30 podcasts, 30 days right over the summer, is we have to have a challenge. And we have to have the next challenge and the next challenge, because that gives us purpose and mission and the reasons why we do what we do, right? There has to be that objective that we're trying to accomplish, right? And if we go back to Wild at Heart, John Rogers' book, a man must have a battle to fight. And if we don't have a battle to fight, we do get complacent, we get lazy. But as long as we have a battle to fight, then that keeps us on task. So this is the reason why, like, you know, you come and do the Squire, it's like, okay, what's the next challenge? What's the next objective, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the things with Apogee, is like, you get these challenges, but then you have to set your own. And I certainly struggle with that, right? Because I can be doing things, right? Because I can find myself doing all sorts of different things, but if I don't have a challenge, if I don't have that thing I'm working towards, it's very difficult to actually do it. If I don't have a lofty objective, like, what kind of person just randomly decides to do 30 episodes in 30 days when they have no guests lined up?
Somebody like me and you. That's who.
Yeah. And so it's like, it is interesting to try to find that next thing. I think we're all searching for the next thing, no matter what that means. You can be searching for the next relationship, the next X, the next Y, but realistically you need to pick a thing. Yeah. And you can be looking for the other things in the other aspects, but you have to pick.
And the reality is this is what's beautiful about that is, you're like, well, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my purpose is. That's okay. The reality is, by doing the thing, by picking the next objective, the next challenge, And by moving forward, you're learning more. You're learning more about yourself. You're learning more about the thing. And then what happens is while you're walking down the yellow brick road on the personal journey, right? Like young Santiago in the Alchemist, if you haven't read that book, it's an old sheep, a young sheep herder that ends up being a world traveler and freaking, you know, just an explorer extraordinaire, ends up finding a wife. And I mean, just completely changed his life from a young kid, you know, being a sheep herder, you know, travels to different countries, and it's a wild story. But you're never going to find the thing. You're never going to find your purpose, never going to find your passion if you're just doing the same old thing. You have to do the journey. You have to walk the steps. You have to go after the challenge. You have to do the thing. And by doing the thing, that's how you find it. But it sure as shit ain't sitting on your couch playing video games. I promise you that.
What are you talking about, Nick? You're lost in life. Come on, man. No, no, but yeah, I mean, of course, right? I mean, you could literally think about it like video games. How are you going to beat the game if you never
play?
Find your next quest?
Yeah.
If you never play, if you never leave the starting area, if you never leave the safe zone, even if leaving the safe zone means certain death, if you never leave, you're never going to do anything, and you're never going to be anything. And no matter how brutal that sounds, it's the truth. And so the biggest issue is everybody wants to live in a fantasy world where they don't have to do anything. The robots handle it all. But even with the insanity around AI as of late, even with the fact that you can automate things, that you can send out 1,000 emails in 10 minutes, even with all of that, you still have to take action, and you have to be intentional with what you do, the framework you put together, the systems you put in place to execute upon these things. Mm-hmm. You can't just go through life pretending that everything's great and that you have no problems and that, you know, you can get to a point in your life where you don't have any insane problems at the core of you. But you are always going to have problems. There is no life without problems. There is no game without challenges.
Well, and that's the thing, is if you don't have any problems, typically what they do is people dig their own holes and they create their own problems, right? They self-destruct, you know, they self-destruct, they dig holes in their own life, they get addicted to vices and things like that because they have no problems, they have nothing to attack. So guys get frustrated, like you might even get frustrated yourself where, you know, you're working so much, you're doing these podcasts, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel just worn out and drained. It's like, well, yeah, of course you do, because you've created problems for yourself. You've created lofty goals. Of course you're tired. I had a client telling me in the Agogi, he was like, man, this has been a really rough week. I said, yeah, I get it. You've worked hard. You're really moving the needle. You showed up for your kids, your wife. You dated, you know, you went, took your wife on a date. You worked this many hours. You made this much money. Yeah, it's exhausting. I said, you know what you could, you know, it'd be really, really awful if you were working that 9-to-5 job like you were a year ago and 40 pounds overweight. He's like, yeah, screw that.
Yeah. I mean, who are we to think that hard things are going to be easy? Right. Right, showing up for everyone. I mean, last week my mom had something come up. I had to be the parent in the household for the entire week, right?
Probably more than once, Parker.
and so it was just, it's just like I was completely like exhausted at the end of the week, just drained. But I got it done, right?
Got it done,
right? I got it done because I didn't have a choice. You do. That's another thing you have to do, is you can't give yourself a choice on most things. You can't give yourself a choice on whether you're going to do this thing or not. You got to say, I'm going to do it, right? I had to wake up early to get stuff going. I had to wake up early so I could work out and do things for my brother and do all of these things. I found it way easier to get up early last week when I needed to, and there was like I couldn't come up with an excuse.
Well, and you just kind of highlighted a really good point. You really crush life when it's something about when it. It's not about you. It's not for personal means. It's like, yes, I have to get up, work out, do these things because other people rely on me. And I have to be the very best version of myself for my mom, for my brother. Like then it becomes, how do you say, selfless, right? And a lot of guys, you know, like the guys that we get in the yoga, I'm like, well, why do you want to become better? Well, for my kid, for my wife. The guys that say, oh, I just do it, want to do it for me, they never last. They never last if you're going to say, oh, I just want to do it for myself. Well, then you're going to give yourself an out. But when it's for somebody else, you're like, no, I got to show up for them. That's a different story. When it's something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, you have to find that external why. You have to find what are you fighting for?
Yeah.
Fighting for yourself is great, but it's only great for about 3 minutes. And after those 3 minutes, after that after you're 3 minutes into your, you know, 1 mile run, you're done. Because you're not going for anything. You have nothing. When you have nothing to give, you need to have something out to look at and be like, that's why. You need to have something that you can look at and be like, that's why I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. You need that. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs that. That is not a question. That there is no question about, do we need to be, you know, hey Nick, do you need to whenever you're struggling with something, do you need to be able to look at your wife and your kids and be like, that's why? Or would it be more productive if you just see a photo of yourself, right?
Yeah, it's not gonna do anything. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, yeah, if someone showed me a photo of myself and I'm like, that's why, I would stop immediately. I'm like, what? Yeah, gosh. Yeah, it's so interesting. Oh man, thank you so much for coming on here. It always feels like we're kind of interviewing each other equally whenever we do these. It's kind of funny.
Well, I like to hear how you're doing, man. I like to watch this process happen. And yeah, man, it's there needs to be more of you. You need to replicate yourself.
That's so funny because that one client with that mentor I'm working with, she's like, I need 5 Parkers. Because that would make my life so much more productive.
There you go. Just keep at it, man. Just keep at it.
All right, and I'll see if I can come up with a cloning machine. I'll see what I can do. All right. Thank you guys at home for watching. I'm Parker Imrel. I've been talking to Nick Koumoulatsos, and this has been The Conversation Station.